Well, welcome everybody. As I've just said, we've got Nikki helping me this morning, which is lovely, Nikki. And this is morning prayer on the fourth Sunday of the Epiphany. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Your light springs up for the righteous, and all the peoples have seen your glory. The Collect for the fourth Sunday of the Epiphany. God, our Creator, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief. Shine into the hearts of all your people and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 15, and we begin by saying the refrain together. Through the greatness of your mercy, I will come into your house. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may rest upon your holy hill? Whoever leads an uncorrupt life and does the thing that is right, who speaks the truth from the heart and bears no deceit on the tongue, who does no evil to a friend and pours no scorn on a neighbour, in whose sight the wicked are not esteemed, but who honours those who fear the Lord. Whoever has sworn to a neighbour and never goes back on that word, who does not lend money in hope of gain, nor take a bribe against the innocent, whoever does these things shall never fail. Through the greatness of your mercy, I will come into your house. Lord, lead us to our heavenly home by single steps of self-restraint and deeds of righteousness. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Lord, help us to hear your word and to speak it. Help us to know your truth and to show it. Help us to feel your love and to share it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our first reading comes from the prophet Micah, the Lord's case against Israel. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember that Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our canticle this morning, our verses from Isaiah. We say the refrain together. God make righteousness and praise blossom before all the nations. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, who has clothed me with garments of salvation and has covered me with the cloak of integrity, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. God makes righteousness and praise blossom before all the nations. For as the earth puts forth her blossom, and as seeds in the garden spring up, so shall God make righteousness and praise blossom before all the nations. God makes righteousness and praise blossom before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her deliverance shines out like the dawn, and her salvation as a burning torch. God makes righteousness and praise blossom before all the nations. The nations shall see your deliverance, and all rulers shall see your glory. Then you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of God will give. You shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. God makes righteousness and praise blossom before all the nations.
The second reading is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning, we are fortunate enough to have heard words from Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and words from the sixth chapter of the book of Micah. These two passages are a couple of my favourites. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus draws a huge crowd to listen to him. He declares God's blessing with something of a reversal of fortunes on those who are suffering and also on those who are merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. Jesus challenges us to look at vulnerability, difficulties, and challenges in a new way, not as signs that we are far from God or lacking in faith, but as if our pains can be the very birth pains of the kingdom of heaven. It is not being strong and knowing everything that marks us out as disciples, but being open-hearted to those around us. There are, as we know, plenty of practical guidelines throughout the Bible on how we should live. To help us to truly walk humbly with God through all that life throws at us, we will need to focus in on what God really requires of us, which leads us to the prophet Micah. Micah was prophesying during the second half of the 8th century BC in Judah. It was a time in which there were plenty of religious people. In fact, being super religious was very popular, especially making as much of a show of it as possible. Religious leaders wanted everyone to know how very, very religious they were, paying loud lip service to God. Everything was going well in the religious world, and the religious leaders had become smug and self-satisfied. Against this background, Micah bursts onto the scene. He proclaims God's judgment against the religious and the faithful, and it must have been quite a shock. In the opening verses of chapter 6, God lodges a legal case against Israel, calling upon all of creation to act as jury. Stand up and state your case against me. Let the mountains and hills be called to witness your complaints. And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. He has a case against his people. He will bring charges against Israel. This is not a petty squabble which can be quickly rectified. This dispute is set against a cosmic framework. Earlier in chapter 3, God lays out a list of faults and failings. In verse 12 of chapter 6, Micah says, "The rich among you have become wealthy through extortion and violence. Your citizens are so used to lying that their tongues can no longer tell the truth." Again and again, God cries out, "Oh, my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? Answer me, what has gone wrong?" God is and has been faithful, but the people are fickle. They have forgotten God's power. They have forgotten what he has done for them. They have forgotten his saving acts. He reminds them that he rescued them from slavery in Egypt, gave them leaders like Moses and Aaron and Miriam, and brought them into the promised land. But that seems to count for nothing, because the people have forgotten everything. The command to remember is peppered across the whole of Scripture. We are commanded to remember and to teach the next generation the wonderful things that God has done. God's people have failed to do that. And it seems to me that we have also failed. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. In Isaiah, we are reminded, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me." In Corinthians, Paul reminds his readers, "Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you." The Psalms remind us, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old." And we remember Jesus' action at the Last Supper when he broke bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Ecclesiastes reminds us, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth." Remember, remember, remember and pass on the things that you have learnt. We need to remember who our God is. We need to remember our unfaithfulness and disobedience and God's complete and utter love and faithfulness towards us. Our God is a God who hears the cries of our hearts. He is the God who brings us out of slavery into freedom. Our God longs to bless. Our God shows love, mercy, and compassion when we fall. Our God is loving and faithful no matter what. And in this passage from Micah, the whole of creation bears witness to God's love and faithfulness. But then in verses 6 and 7, the people reply, "What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring burnt offerings?" In many ways, this is an admission of guilt. But the way the people deal with their guilt is to revert to the same old way of dealing with their failings. More and more sacrificial offerings to make up for their sinfulness. In other words, let's make a show of trying to appease God. Let's be more conspicuously religious. Let's do anything other than change our behaviour. And Micah is having none of it. We cannot fob God off. God has already told us what we need to do. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. Scripture has already stated what we need to do. The law and the prophets have reminded the people over and over again. This is what he requires of you. Do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God are not one-off activities which we can tick off a list and then sit back with a sigh of relief and say, "Great, I've done that." These are hour by hour, day by day, lifetime choices. These are not just things we can nod to on a Sunday and then go back to old habits on Monday. Rather than offer God 1,000 rams, Micah calls us to offer 1,000 daily acts of love for one another and the world which God lovingly created. This is about living a life which is centered on God. Religious practice in itself is not wrong. It only becomes problematic when it makes us think that we have done it and our lifestyle does not reflect God's demands. Let us strive every day to be the people God wants us and made us to be, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly together with our God. Amen.
In humility and need, we gather our prayers for others. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. Headline news shocks us with so much cruelty, tragedy, and suffering that we barely know where to begin in our praying for those in need. But you, O God, do hear us. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. For those who do not know you, who do not know the depth of your love and care, who live with poverty of spirit and understanding, confusion and denial of you. For them all, may your spirit speak to them, and may the deeds and the words and the actions of how we live shine with your spirit for them. For those who know you, but know they fall short of what you call them to be, give them encouragement to strive more and learn more and believe more. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who mourn, who have had their lives changed, turned upside down by the death of family, friends, or neighbours. In their grief, may we and you be a comfort to them, a strength in times of trouble, a light to lead the way in their darkness. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those whose arrogance, pride, and vanity stop them from seeing the truth about themselves and the needs of others. For those who do not know what humility is and where it might lead them. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who daily, no matter what the cost to themselves, speak out your words of truth, who live lives reflecting your glory, who each day step out to help and heal and care and show your love even in face of danger. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who find it within them to forgive others who really repent, those who forgive for the good of others and society, those who show mercy and compassion. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for those who work for peace, who strive for peace, who yearn for peace, those who engage at the highest levels of states seeking peace, and those who stand on the battlefield yearning for conflict to end and peace to be restored. For those caught in the middle, who feel helpless and hopeless in the face of war and aggression. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. For those peoples whose tragedies, injustice, crisis, and suffering make the news headlines today. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. For our families, our friends, our neighbours, those we know and love and care for, who need our prayers, especially this day. And we pray for the sick, Jacques, Brenda, Olivia, Cynthia, Jackie, Mary, Henrietta, Tony, Donald, Diana, Roman, Ruth, Mike, Bob, Kath, Janice, and Mary. And we pray for the souls of those who have died. Nancy Eyre, Michelle Goldsworthy, Irene Dorothy Lancells, Edith Murphy, and Henry Eyre. God of justice and mercy, hear our prayers. Hear our words, O God, and hear the yearnings of our hearts, that we may walk humbly with you, sharing love and generosity wherever we go. In the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Christ, the Son of God, perfect in you the image of his glory, and gladden your hearts with the good news of his kingdom. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those we love and pray for today and always. Amen. And we say together, God of love, help us to speak your word, to spread your love, to be a voice for the voiceless. Help us to be quiet, to listen to you, to listen to those that most need to be heard. Let it be so. Amen. Thank you so much for your company this morning. It's been lovely to be with you. I will see you this time next week. I hope you have a blessed week, and wherever you're going next or whatever you're doing, God go with you. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Have a good week.
Have a good week, everybody. God bless. Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.